Welcome to the Dementia Research Project. One of the aims of this project is to explore how dementia has been perceived throughout history and to chart the progress built upon the shoulders of giants. Alois Alzheimer was born in Bavaria, a picturesque region in Germany in 1864, and he became the first person to help us understand one of the most crippling diseases known to humanity, Alzheimer's disease. It all began with a patient named Auguste Terre, the first documented case of Alzheimer's disease in 1906. But before we unravel the story of this landmark case, we need to understand who Alzheimer was and why the disease was named after him. Chapter 1. Let's journey back to the quaint village of Markberg, where young Alois showed an early love for science. This passion led him to study medicine at universities in Tübingen and Würzburg, both prestigious institutions in Germany. After graduating, he began his medical career in 1888 at the Hospital for the Mentally Ill and Epileptics in Frankfurt. This was no ordinary hospital. It treated patients with severe mental health issues. Alois faced many daily challenges, assisting doctors and caring for patients. His hard work paid off, and he was promoted to senior physician after 7 years. During this period, Alois met Franz Nissl, a fellow doctor who developed a new way to study nerve cells under a microscope, called the Nissl staining method. Their partnership, driven by a shared curiosity, led to significant discoveries about the brain. Together, they published important studies on the brain and nervous system, sharing their findings through scientific journals and conferences, gaining recognition in the medical community. Alois was particularly interested in how brain disorders affected thinking and memory. His collaborations with Nissl fueled his passion and helped him become a pioneer in his field. Chapter 2. In 1894, Alois married Cecilia Geisenheimer, a widow of a banker. This marriage brought him personal happiness and financial stability, allowing him to focus more on his research. Sadly, Cecilia passed away after 7 years, leaving Alois deeply saddened. Around this time, his close friend Nissl moved to another city to work with Emil Kraepelin, a leading psychiatrist. Alois became the director of the asylum in Frankfurt, focusing on studying mental illnesses like manic depression and schizophrenia. It was here in 1901 he met Auguste de Terre, a 51-year-old woman admitted with severe memory problems and confusion. Her symptoms were distressing. She was increasingly disoriented, unable to remember even the simplest details, and suffered from paranoia and auditory hallucinations. Alois took a special interest in her case. He meticulously documented her symptoms, noting her progressive loss of cognitive function and her behavioral changes. Auguste's condition was puzzling and heartbreaking. Despite the hospital's best efforts, her mental state continued to deteriorate. Auguste often struggled to recognize her own husband and would become highly agitated, sometimes even violent, which was distressing for her and those around her. Alois' dedication to understanding her condition was evident. He spent countless hours observing and interacting with Auguste, trying to piece together the mystery of her illness. His thorough documentation included detailed clinical notes and observations of her daily behavior, which were critical to later research. In April 1906, Auguste de Terre passed away. By then, Alzheimer had moved to Munich, but he had ensured that her brain and medical records were sent to him for further study. Upon examining Auguste's brain, Alzheimer noticed abnormal clumps and tangled bundles of fibers, unlike anything he had seen before. These observations were groundbreaking.
The clumps were amyloid plaques, and the tangles were neurofibrillary tangles, hallmarks of what would be later known as Alzheimer's disease.
He presented his findings at a meeting of psychiatrists in Tübingen in November 1906.
His meticulous work and detailed observations were crucial in establishing a new understanding of neurodegenerative diseases. Alzheimer's work with Auguste de Terre laid the foundation for the identification of Alzheimer's disease. Her case was pivotal in illustrating the clinical and pathological features of this condition, providing a framework for future research.
The bond between physician and his patient, marked by Alois' compassionate commitment to uncovering the mystery behind her suffering, exemplifies the profound human element at the heart of medical discovery. To confirm his findings, Alois needed more cases. He found another patient, Johann F., whose condition supported his research. This prompted Kraepelin to name the disease Alzheimer's disease in 1907.
As Alzheimer's reputation grew, he became a full professor of psychiatry at the University of Breslau in 1912.
He was known not just for his scientific work, but also for his dedication to teaching. He guided many young scientists through the complexities of brain research.
His achievements were recognized when Wilhelm II of Prussia endorsed his full professorship in July 1912, a prestigious honor.
Alzheimer's research extended beyond his eponymous disease. He studied a range of brain disorders, including epilepsy and the effects of chronic alcoholism, making numerous contributions to medicine. Tragically, Alzheimer's life was cut short in 1915, at the age of 51, due to a severe infection. He was buried next to his wife in Frankfurt. Reflecting on his life's work, Alzheimer's words resonate. If we aim to understand the nature of a disease, we must have a clear, precisely defined disease entities before us.
His unwavering commitment to scientific inquiry defines his legacy, inspiring generations to push the boundaries of knowledge and unlock the secrets of the mind.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.